As we prepared for Lent and thought about what we might like to bring you on Ash Wednesday, it was clear to us that we couldn't do your typical Ash Wednesday service. Dust to dust, ashes to ashes, contemplation of our mortality, all of this deep reflection and introspection. Yes, it's important. And yes, it is a blessed thing to go through Lent in that way. But this year, we just seem to have had enough of it. So we thought we'd start with something different. The classic children's book, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. In case you haven't read it for a long time or have never read it, we're going to begin today by sharing it with you. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. And every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest. He would climb up her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples, and they would play hide-and-go-seek. And when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade. And the boy loved the tree very much. And the tree was happy. But time went by, and the boy grew older. And the tree was often alone. Then one day the boy came to the tree, and the tree said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I am too big to climb and play," said the boy. "I want to buy things and have fun. I want some money. Can you give me some money?" "I'm sorry," said the tree, "but I have no money. I have only leaves and apples. Take my apples, boy, and sell them in the city. Then you will have money and you'll be happy." And so the boy climbed up the tree and gathered her apples and carried them away. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And then one day the boy came back, and the tree shook with joy, and she said, "Come, boy, come and climb up my trunk and swing from my branches and eat apples and play in my shade and be happy." "I'm too busy to climb trees," said the boy. "I want a house to keep me warm," he said, "and I want a wife, and I want children, and so I need a house. Can you give me a house?" "I have no house," said the tree. "The forest is my house," said the tree, "but you may cut off my branches and build a house. Then you will be happy." And so the boy cut off her branches and carried them away to build a house. And the tree was happy. But the boy stayed away for a long time, and the tree was sad. And when he came back, the tree was so happy she could hardly speak. "Come, boy," she whispered, "come and play." "I am too old and sad to play," said the boy. "I want a boat that will take me away from here. Can you give me a boat?" "Cut down my trunk and make a boat," said the tree. "Then you can sail away and be happy." And so the boy cut down her trunk and made a boat and sailed away. And the tree was happy, but not really. And after a long time, the boy came back again. "I am sorry, boy," said the tree, "but I have nothing left to give you. My apples are gone." "My teeth are too weak for apples," said the boy. "My branches are gone," said the tree. "You cannot swing on them." "I am too old to swing on branches," said the boy. "My trunk is gone," said the tree. "You cannot climb." "I am too tired to climb," said the boy. "I am sorry," sighed the tree. "I wish that I could give you something, but I have nothing left. I am just an old stump. I am sorry." "I don't need very much now," said the boy, "just a quiet place to sit and rest. I am very tired." "Well," said the tree, straightening herself up as much as she could, "well, An old stump is good for sitting and resting. Come, boy, sit down and rest. And the boy did. And the tree was happy. The end. Many people find a wealth of theological meaning in this short story. Why don't you consider it for a while? Have you ever been the boy in the story? Have you ever seen God as the giver of gifts, but not someone that you really love in return? Have you ever been so busy making a life that you forgot about living? Have you ever found yourself without the material things that maybe you thought you wanted? Maybe found yourself in a difficult situation and a challenge? Maybe found yourself alone? Did you then turn back to God? And did God provide you a safe place to rest? These are the kinds of questions that we're going to contemplate together through our Lenten season. Many are the branches on the one tree, and our one tree is Jesus. And many are the gifts given by our God. We begin Lent with the giving tree. I ask you to consider, what are you seeking? What are you needing? And now we continue with the first Sunday in Lent and the gifts of imperfection. I hope to say many things to you today about the gifts of imperfection. Of course, I'm leaning heavily on Brené Brown's book by that name, and I hope if you have the opportunity, you will read through it or read it again. But we don't really have time for that today, and so I'm going to share a scripture with you and then talk just for a moment about the gifts of imperfection that I see coming to us from that scripture. This is the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, beginning in the 41st verse. Now, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When Jesus' parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. When I read this story, I can't help but think of those memes that are usually accompanied by pictures so that you get the whole story. Those ones where the caption says, "You had one job." You had one job. Mary and Joseph had one job, this child Jesus, and they lost him.
And the fact that they lost him, and you can't really argue with it, they lost him for at least a day. I believe they didn't find him until the third day in the temple. They had this one job to take care of this child Jesus, and they lost him. In fact, it makes us so nervous to think about Mary and Joseph failing at this job of taking care of Jesus and keeping up with him that theologians have developed all kinds of excuses for how Mary and Joseph could have lost Jesus and it not have been their fault, that it wasn't the dereliction of their parental duty. What is it that people are doing when they create these excuses? Well, easy. But I'll get to that in a moment. So Jesus is in the temple when they find him, and his first words to them are, "Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" Some translations say, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my Father's business?" And Mary takes all these things into her heart and ponders them. I don't know what Joseph did. He probably just let Mary handle it. But here's the thing. Did they make a mistake? Did they fail? I don't think so. I think they were just humans, imperfect. You see, I think that Mary and Joseph had done all that they ever needed to do way back 12 years earlier when the angel appeared to each of them separately. To Mary, the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, God is with you. God has chosen you. Won't you carry this child, Jesus?" And to Joseph, "Joseph, don't be afraid to go against the law and tradition and take into your heart and into your home this woman who carries this child, Jesus. Take in this child." Friends, here's what I want us to remember today. We are Mary and Joseph who have said yes to taking in this child, Jesus. But I'm afraid that often we spend the rest of our lives trying to take care of that child, trying to do our duty, trying to make sure that we are good custodians of Jesus, that we are good keepers of the faith, that we are doing the right things and believing the right things and saying the right things, because how could God possibly love us if we're not doing a good job? And grace goes by the wayside. I'm making it very simple today, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We go through our lives very often trying to be perfect in ways that we're not meant to be perfect. We go through our lives working hard to receive someone's love, to receive someone's respect, to make up for some other mistake or failure that we've made. Here's the thing about our faith and our God. Everything has been made perfect in our weakness. It's at these very moments of anxiety, of fear, of what have I done, that we should turn to Jesus. That we should turn to our faith and remember that no matter what we've said or thought or done, there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God through Jesus. We can't lose Jesus. Now, I know that's a very simple look at it, and we'll expand things a little bit more as we continue through this Lenten series, but one of the gifts that we sometimes overlook is the gift of imperfection. Aren't there things in your life that had they turned out exactly as you had planned them down to the nth detail, had they turned out exactly as you had planned them, they wouldn't have been as wonderful as they ended up being? Think about all these things as you listen to Casey sing "Good, Good Father." We are imperfect, but God's love for us is perfect in every way. Amen.